The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and the senior advisor to healthcare.com. Our topic today is a continuation on something you have been working on.
Yeah. So this is actually some good news here. So, about 4 weeks ago, we joined Representative Michelle Cook of Torrington in calling on Governor Len Lamont to launch a top-to-bottom investigation of Connecticut's entire nursing home system. We need to learn, as soon as possible, why COVID-19 has turned all but a handful of Connecticut's 213 nursing homes into death houses. COVID has killed 13% of Connecticut's senior living residents since March, 13%. Also, Connecticut has the third highest nursing home death rate per capita in the nation. Third highest? And as I speak, 15 more senior living residents will likely die today. This is not good. But look, finally, there's some good news. Governor Lamont has just announced what he's calling a top-to-bottom nursing home, quote-unquote, analysis. So investigation, analysis, we're going to take what we can get here. But this is a full-blown analysis. He's going to hire an independent outside firm, and he wants an in-depth report as soon as possible so reforms can be made to prevent deaths before COVID surges again in the fall, as many experts obviously really fear. So the government thanked Representative Cook personally for influencing him. And she was kind enough, Jill, to tell me that our broadcast here at Robin Hood Radio this past month influenced the governor to make this decision as well. So Jill, what do you think of the governor's decision to launch an analysis of the nursing home system?
I think that's a good word for it. And I think that it's appropriate. How's that? I'm doing diplomacy this afternoon.
You've also said long overdue. And I think overdue. I really do.
No. I can put it less diplomatically. He had to. Next.
He had to. Yeah, he really did. And I'm glad he did. Here's another point, though. I talked to a number of people this week, Democrats, Republicans, labor leaders, lawyers. I was on the phone a lot. And I would describe the collective reaction as cautiously hopeful. I mean, for example, House Minority Leader Themis Clarida, so she's in Seymour, told me that she welcomes the analysis so we never again have such a wave of death. But she's not the only one who told me the administration has a problem with transparency. I mean, the governor announced that this investigation, analysis, whatever you want to call it, would be bipartisan and involve labor, but without first reaching out. Rob Baril, I mean, he's the head of the healthcare workers union here in the state. It's SEIU 1199 NE for New England. He told me that no one from the governor's office talked to him. I mean, he's been calling them about this. No one ever got back to him. And he says they decide first and then they tell us what they decided. And that appears to be a disturbing pattern with this administration. It decides and then claims to be consulting, rather than consulting widely and then deciding. So, Jill, look, I think it's our job here at Robin Hood Radio, at least part of it, to follow this investigation, analysis, okay, very closely to make sure that it's inclusive and that the nursing home operators are held accountable and that they make the reforms that everyone agrees on at the end of the day here before the fall, so we can stop the deaths before there's a surge. What do you think of our role to keep this on track?
I think that I'm delighted by the fact that Robin Hood Radio once again performed its Robin Hood Radioism and was helpful in this. No, seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
I just wish, because this is, I mean, I understand that it is a statewide problem, but it's also a, there are other places that have similar situations, and I would be so much happier if there were more Robin Hood Radio types who were I don't want to say holding people's feet to the fire, but just not acting like a juvenile Labrador who did it for next thing. Yeah. So it's like, in other words, you've got to stay on it.
There should be better reporting. There's no question about it from a number of outlets. And anyway, look, here's a good sign. The bipartisan, I just said bipartisan, that's the Bipartisan Women's Caucus, is holding a press conference next week to discuss specific reform ideas. And the governor will be there. So Representative Cook said to me, look, we have the governor's ear and his attention. So, Jill, I expect that a number of ideas that we've discussed here and highlighted at Robin Hood Radio will be presented at this press conference. And starting with this one, the state should hire 213 independent registered nurses, one for each nursing home, to enforce infection control. Managers are still allowing this highly contagious virus to get in the doors, walk the halls, and climb the stairs. And government inspectors say 58% of COVID nursing home deaths are in homes with infection control problems. That includes 4 out of 5 with the worst records here in Connecticut. And get this. This is by my count as of June 3rd, okay? 9 of Athena Healthcare System's 22 nursing homes, they're a big operator, they got 10% of the beds in the state. 9 of the 22 are reporting cases that exceed 50% of the beds. Like Litchfield Woods in Torrington, that's where Representative Cook's father-in-law got COVID and died later, has 130 beds. And 127 cases, 130 beds, 127 cases, and 40 deaths. Abbott Terrace in Waterbury has 205 beds and 115 cases and 46 deaths. And so it goes. We need an independent infection specialist in each home enforcing proper PPE. Let's make sure everybody has got the right gowns, they've got the right masks on, they're wearing their gloves, and they keep changing it, their equipment, as they move from room to room, from a COVID patient to a non-COVID. Social distancing. Nurses are still bumping into each other in the hall and bumping into the residents. Hand washing. I think we do more at home than some of these nursing homes, from what I'm told. And these infection control specialists should be reporting any problems they see directly to the state. And that move alone would save hundreds of lives. Now, Democrat Senator Saad Anwar, and he's a physician from South Windsor, a really terrific, bright guy. He believes strongly that the nursing home operators should pay for the specialists. And he said, look, the operators, infection control people failed. They dropped the ball. So the operators should take the hit for this extra layer of help. He wants the operators to be accountable and to pay. And the center also says, and this is a very important issue, and I know it's going to come up at this press conference next week. The center also says healthcare workers who get infected should be able to collect workman's comp. Makes sense, right? Now the workers have to prove they got sick at the nursing home. Very difficult to do. He called that ridiculous. He said, of course they got infected at the workplace. So they deserve workman's comp. That's sort of the underlying. It's workman's comp, right? You got it at the workplace, you should be paid. And Jill, we have to talk about transparency here. The Department of Public Health has finally fined its first nursing homes. But it hasn't named the nursing homes publicly or the fines. So guess what? Skeptic me? I think that's because the fines are ludicrously low. Maybe only around $5,000 per home. Okay, $5,000 per home. We're going to report a lot more on this as I collect the facts.
I just want to interject here. Skeptic you, it would be interesting to find out because, sadly, common sense takes a holiday. And a lot of the, I'm going to use, a lot of the sloppiness around this came from large amounts that certain people were getting that certain outfits were getting to take these patients.
Yes. You know, it was a profit machine. I mean, you're getting $600. If you take a COVID patient in from the hospital, you're getting an extra $600 per patient per day. It was a lot of money. There's a lot of pandemic money flowing around here. And the auditor should get to the bottom of it, and these fines should be meaningful, and the operator should pay. These fines should not come out of the general fund. That just means that there's less money for the workers and lousier lunches for the residents. I mean, it should come out of the operator's pocket. But look, how about this reporting system that we have here in Connecticut? A number of experts that I talked to think Connecticut senior living operators are undercounting by about 25%. So you got not close to 3,000 residents dead, close to 4,000. And how about this? I'd love somebody to explain this to me. Athena, go to our friends, the Athena Healthcare System. Athena's Sharon Healthcare Center, that's across the street, right, is reporting week after week, six COVID cases and no deaths. Six COVID cases, no deaths. But it's a COVID-only home with 88 beds. And the director told me personally weeks ago that one resident had died of COVID, and she expected another to pass within a day or two. I mean, six cases and no deaths? I mean, that reporting doesn't make any sense to me. So, so what do you make of this transparency, Jill? Transparency, if you want to call it transparency.
I come from a long line of skeptics recognizing book cookers. I mean, it's just, you can't, these inconsistencies are what make life interesting. Yeah. So I just, I would say
it's interesting, but the reporting system here is just not reflecting what's going on here. I mean, this needs to get clarified. Yeah, I think.
But what I'm saying is, and again, this is where different journalists and news reporters and news outlets could be a bit better. If, you're a bright guy. And you've been doing this for a while. If those figures stick out like a sore thumb, it's like you don't need to be any sort of professional auditor to go, gee, that's interesting. So
I think it needs to be pursued. We're in a moment where there's so much news flying that these reporters, the newspapers are understaffed. It's difficult. My focus is, like 100% on this issue, okay? And it's a lot for me with a full week to put together a report. But it isn't made any easier when you've got that kind of reporting system that makes no sense and you've got a real lack of transparency, I think.
Right, so, and look, what I'm saying...
I mentioned another point to underscore here is Representative Cook really wants to bring in these state auditors to claw back every dollar of these pandemic money, if any, okay, that the nursing home owners are siphoning off into their, inflating their profits. If any of that's sticking to their pockets, that money's got to come back. She thinks the state auditors could do the job. And I have to again say that I strongly believe that Connecticut should be testing, tracking, and tracing all 23,000 healthcare workers as soon as possible. And here's what's so frustrating. Connecticut is finding it impossible to test even 40,000 people a week. And you need about 40,000 or maybe 45,000 test kits just to test every healthcare worker, because you'd want to test them every 4 days. If you did that, you'd be as safe as you possibly could. You'd identify the people with COVID coming in the door. You'd send them home, and then you track that. Then you trace them to make sure you'd be able to get in touch with anybody else that they've been in contact with. That would really, really get on top of this COVID problem. And it's a real shame that we aren't anywhere near doing that. The administration has just, in fact, abandoned its goal of 100,000 tests a week. They just threw it out yesterday. Said, we don't think that's important anymore. That's a shame. Look, at least five other states have secured enough tests right now and are testing all of their healthcare workers right now. Okay, Connecticut should be one of those states. So look, that was my busy week, Jill. That's what I found out. We're going to be on top of this analysis. Any other thoughts, anything else that on your mind that I didn't make clear here?
No, you were very clear, and guess what? You're out of time. So, thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective. Yep, I'm
Yeah, I'm going to add one more. I'm going to add one more thing. Hey, listeners, please, I want to hear from you. FrankLally1@me.com. Tell me what you think about this issue. Marshall and I are on it for you. This is a nursing home story. We're reporting for you, but we want to hear from you. What are your concerns? What are your thoughts?
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care separately to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Health Care Now, available online, in store, on my desk.